scrape the tip of the iceberg with it. And I'm excited to see, as God continues to give me revelation in this, where I'm going to end up, where you're going to end up as we journey together. We're doing a mini-series on eternity. And we've got a couple of weeks shoved in amongst guest speakers, etc. And we just really want to marinate ourselves in this whole theme concept of eternity. And I think it's really important that if you're here tonight, you're not here by accident, but God's going to speak to you, and just at that place of surrender, even right now, just ask God, open up your life and just say, God, speak to me in this. In the next half an hour, not for Ben to speak to you, but God to speak to you. And like I said, I've got a lot of confidence in God. I don't have a lot of confidence in me, but I've got confidence in God that as we just surrender our lives, come around the Word of God, that He's going to do some awesome things. And the start's going to be tonight. It's not going to be the end. But I'm just really excited about what we're going to look at as we look at God's Word in this whole topic of eternity. First of all, for those who were here, I preached a few months ago on a Sunday morning, and some of that I'm repeating. So I don't apologize, because you need to hear it again. So do I. And so if something sounds familiar, that's because it is. I heard a podcast a couple of months ago, and it was by a guy called John Bevere. And John Bevere was retelling a story that he had recently had, and he said he was invited. John Bevere, for those that don't know, is a Christian teacher, author, pastor who travels all around the world, especially focusing on leadership development. And he had a recent opportunity to go and speak at a conference for leaders and pastors in a church network in Brazil. And as he arrived, he thought he was going to turn up to a couple of hundred leaders and pastors at this event. And he walks in, and there's 2,500 pastors and leaders that are gathered together to be developed and equipped to pastor and lead their churches. And he was blown away by this, and they had an awesome time. And the next day he was out for dinner with one of the founding people of this church network, and he said to him, "What is going on?" He said, "Where are all these pastors and leaders come from?" John was blown away with the amount of people that had been raised up in this church network. And this guy ended up telling him that within their network of churches, there was 300,000 people associated. 300,000 people in their network of churches that called church home in their network. And he was amazed. And he's thinking that this network of churches has probably been around for 40, 50, 60 years. And he asked him how long they've been around for, and he said 16 years. And of course, to that, John asked the question that you guys would all ask: what's the secret? And interestingly, he gave John a very clear answer, and he said, "We teach our people about eternity. We preach to our people about the judgment seat of God. We teach our people about the eternal reward." And he was like, "What?" And this guy went on to tell John that, see, most people in a Western world, they have a 60, 70, 80 year perspective. But he said, our people, they have an eternal perspective. And he said, for that reason, our people, when they're serving God, they don't just see it as difficult and hard, because they're not looking at it from a 5 or 10 or 60 or 70 year perspective. They're looking at this from eternal perspective. He said, for that reason, we can suffer more things. They'll push us harder than anything, because these people have identified that there's an eternal perspective here. And after I heard this, it took me on a train of thought and really, I guess, praying to God about just having a look at this subject again, and like I said before, God started to speak to me, and I just want to share a few thoughts about eternity tonight. Who knows that perspective is essential? Our perspective in life is essential. Is there anyone here tonight who's in high school? Nobody? Is there anyone here who's just finished high school or close? Anyone here under 20 that can walk? Can I have a volunteer to come out here, please? Michael, you'll be glad that you came out.
20 days. You got 20 days.
All right. 20. You'll be glad that you came out. It was worth the walk. I hear in my pocket, I've got, can everyone see what that is? That's a $50 note. How long would that take for you to save?
What do you mean?
A little while by the sounds of it. Michael, I'm going to give you this $50. It's yours.
Sure.
It's not Monopoly money. It's not a fraudulent note. It's a real $50. But you can keep that $50 or... and I'll give you a few seconds to think about this. In 12 months' time, if you return that $50 to me now, I will give you $100 in 12 months' time. So have a think about it. You got like 20 seconds. You can either enjoy this $50 now or in a year's time, 12 months' time, 52 weeks, 365 days, I will give you $100. Do you have a decision?
I'll take the 50.
You'll take the 50? Go on. You're right to go. He's done a runner. But perspective is essential. Now, in Michael's defense, he probably thinks I'm a shady character. And, Maybe either he thinks he's not going to be here in 12 months, or maybe he thinks I'm not going to be here. I don't know which one. But maybe he thinks I'm a shady character and I'm not going to be good for the money. But the point is that perspective is essential. When Michael had the option to do something with the money with another reward in 12 months' time, it made him think. It made him think for a moment, even though it might have been short, what he was going to do. There's a quote that I love from C.S. Lewis. It says, "If you read history, you'll find that the Christians which did most for the present world were precisely those who thought most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this one." Pretty powerful quote. Since Christians have followers of Jesus have ceased to think about eternity, they have become so ineffective in this life. Hope Point Church, we've got a pretty big mandate, a pretty big vision, is transforming our community through the love and power of Jesus. Who knows that that's going to take some effort? That's going to take some juice. That's going to take some... it's going to be more than Red Bull, Kenny. Oh, he's gone. It's going to take some juice to do this stuff that God has called us to do. And for that very reason, we need to maintain this eternal perspective to be effective in the very thing that God has asked us to do. Tonight, I want to unearth a little bit of that eternity part in your life, eternity part in your heart, and maybe you're here tonight and you've never thought about the concept of eternity. Maybe you've never thought about this very truth about living forever. And I want to say tonight, the majority of my life, I never gave it a second thought. Until I probably went to a funeral, and then it sort of started to impact the way I thought about eternity. And there's a verse in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that says, He, being God, has set eternity in the heart of every man. In the heart of every single person, God has set eternity in us. And today, tonight we're going to dust that off. We're going to find it if it hasn't been surfaced for a while. There's probably a slight misconception oftentimes in church, and that is that we come at the moment of salvation, we were once in darkness, we come and we receive this awesome gift of grace at salvation. And from that moment on, because of our belief, our faith in Jesus, for the forgiveness of our sins, we now spend eternity with God, which is true. But oftentimes we view as Christians, we view that as the pinnacle of our journey. And oftentimes we live in this mindset, in this framework, that this is now the pinnacle. And if we can just somehow work throughout life and just scrape into heaven, then we're all good. We've done a good thing. Tonight I want to say that that's just the beginning. Our salvation experience, receiving the awesome gift of God, is just the beginning of our journey. And that's awesome, because that day that we stand before God, for those of us who are followers of Jesus, for those that have asked Jesus to come and be Lord of our life, we can stand with confidence before God, knowing that all our sins have been washed away because of the blood of Jesus. But that doesn't mean there's not another judgment. And there's a believer's judgment. And how many know that the Bible teaches that as believers in Christ, that we will stand before God and be judged on the things that we've done on this life? It's now no longer about an issue about whether we get to heaven or not. It's now an issue that we're going to be judged on what we've done in this life. And Scotty, if you can just throw up that quote. I just want to leave this up for the next of the couple of minutes that we've got, because this is a profound quote to this very thing. It says, what we do with the cross determines where we will spend eternity, but the way we live as believers determines how we are going to spend eternity. Consider this for a moment. If someone had the ability who controlled your life, and they came to you and they said, I'll give you 24 hours, and the next 24 hours, however you live that next 24 hours, will determine the way you live the next 1,000 years, I'm pretty sure that you wouldn't just give it over to chance. I'm pretty sure that you would be purposeful about how you lived the next 24 hours. And we have 60, 70, 80, 90 years at best where we can be purposeful about how we spend eternity. At this point, I just want to share some scriptures that show us clearly about this very issue of reward. And who knows that we don't all receive the same reward? Often that's not spoken about a lot, because our emphasis is so much about just getting to heaven. But the fact is, all of us, everybody here who's a believer in Jesus, will stand before God in the righteous judgment and will receive a reward. And not everyone receives the same reward. Let's have a look at a few verses. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 41, if you got your Bibles. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 41 says, the sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and stars differ from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. And over in Hebrews 11, 35. I'll just quickly give you these scriptures and then you can go back and have a look at them. But it says here, verse 35, women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Here the author of Hebrews is saying that depending on the type of resurrection, the type of glory, the type of reward determines on how they live this life. 2 John 8, the last verse we'll look at now, 2 John 8. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be fully rewarded. Or other translations say that you will receive a full reward. Here the author John is saying that some people receive a full reward, some people receive a half reward, and some people will receive no reward. And when we stand before God on that day, we'll be judged on the things we've done on this planet, in this lifetime, whether they were worthless or whether they were of value. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're saying, well, we shouldn't be motivated by reward. Shouldn't we just love Jesus? We should just love Jesus. He's done everything for us. But we see in Jesus' life, he's modeled perfectly for us that he was motivated by reward. It said for the joy that was before him, he endured the cross. There was that reward of joy that made him pursue, made him go through the circumstances because there was a reward waiting. I guess the big question for us now is, what can we do so that we can receive a full reward? What is it that I'm meant to do to receive a full reward? And the awesome thing is that the Bible doesn't make this hard to find. The Bible doesn't try and trick us in this aspect, but it makes it very clear. In Psalm 127, verse 1, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, the builders labor in vain." In Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 13, it's that those verses around the different gifts to the church: prophet, apostle, teacher. And what is it for? It's for the building up of the church. So therefore, anything that builds the kingdom of God is something that is of value. Today, tonight, you're a builder. Maybe you never thought yourself that way, but if you're a follower of Jesus, you're a builder. You're a builder in the kingdom of God. It's interesting that oftentimes we view different things we do for God, and just imagine that we just had this awesome worship team up here, and you know, it is possible for someone to be involved in that worship team, do it for themselves, do it to get a badge, do it to get a title, and on that day to stand before God and it be all burnt up. It's also possible for someone to serve in the worship team and their heart just to be, I want to bring people into an expression of worship. I want to worship God. I want other people to that. And that's something that will, when we stand before God, that's that gold, silver, and precious stones. That's something of value. That's something that we will receive a full reward. The awesome thing about the local church, and this is the way that God has designed it, is that we have the ability to get involved in the local church to build the kingdom of God. And someone this morning was talking about the fact that in Hillsong, the majority of people that call Hillsong home are serving in some sort of capacity. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, what an awesome thing that the culture, whatever it is that's going on in that place, is just when people come in, they want to serve and build the local church and build the kingdom of God. Whether it's cleaning, whether it's looking after kids at home, as we do it in a service to God, as we do it building the kingdom of God, it's things that are of value. It's things that are of value in an eternal perspective. Let's not be people that on that day we stand before God, we've got our resumes full, we've got a list of achievements, we've had financial stability, we've got all these things that the world looks on and says that's what we're after, but yet when we stand before Him, it's all worthless. This is something that is so impacting my life. And as I think about the decisions I'm making and the actions I'm doing, it's affecting the way I live. Because I want to be there on that day and stand before God. And imagine when Jesus comes and imagine where he says, here, here's a full reward. You can rule and reign with me. And I want to encourage you guys tonight, let's not be deceived by what people, even Christian people, try and tell us what success is. Because there's a lot of courses out there about how to achieve financial success. There's a lot of courses out there that will tell you on all these things that are really good. But how often do we come and we hear about success and how to gain success that will last for eternity? What we do with the cross determines where we will spend eternity, but the way we live as believers determines how we are going to spend eternity. I just want you to close your eyes just as I finish up shortly. Can we just have the band to come back up? That would be awesome. We'll just sing through one song, maybe Lead Me to the Cross or Resurrecting. Just close your eyes for a moment and just think. This life that we're so familiar with, this society that we live in that tells us what's important, we live in an environment where social media is throwing everything at us and grabbing our attention. Tonight, I just want you to consider that moment you stand before God. Whether it be in 5 minutes or 50 years. Thing is, we only have one shot at this life. This is not a practice. And I don't know about you, but I really value people around me that come and they encourage me about the decisions I'm making in the eternal perspective. I really value people that will come around me and say, come on, Ben. Is that really valuable for eternity, or is that just wood, hay, and stubble? Is that just something that's going to be burnt up? And of course we have to live, we have to provide, we have to be good stewards of our money and the responsibilities that God has given us. But tonight I want to encourage you that day you stand before Him, rather than having regrets then, how about you have the regret now? Because I want to get there on that day and Him say, well done. Not only did you make it to heaven, but you've received a full reward. The awesome thing is His plan is for all of us to receive a full reward. It's not trying to copy somebody else. It's as simple as doing the very thing that God has called you to do, where you are to serve to build the kingdom of God. That very place, it might seem insignificant to you, but He's given you gifts, He's given you abilities to build the kingdom of God. Let's be those people that, when we see Him on that day, we can stand with confidence. Not only because our sins are forgiven, but because we've run a good race. Like the Apostle Paul said, I've run a good race. I've finished strong. I've kept the faith. And now waiting for me is what? A reward. Why don't we all stand together? If tonight the Holy Spirit's been talking to you like He has been to me, and you say to God, well, maybe there's some things I can change in my life. Maybe because from this awesome gift of grace that we've experienced flowing out of that, maybe there's some priorities I can change because my perspective has now been made clear. If that's you, just raise your hand. Awesome, awesome. It's such an awesome place of surrender to come that to say, God, do something in my life. Make it count for You. God, I want to stand there on that day. You say, well done. We're just going to worship together now in this last song.